This is Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, your daily voice in Washington, D.C. on the issues of faith, family, and freedom. And now, here's your host, Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Washington Watch. Coming up, the Center for Medical Progress released another undercover video, the 13th video, exposing Planned Parenthood for trafficking in aborted baby body parts. One of the clinics in question was in Arizona, which has clear laws protecting children born alive. The recorded comments suggest that law could have been violated. Arizona Congressman Trent Franks will join us a little bit later. Planned Parenthood allies were quick to respond. The California Attorney General filed 15 criminal charges against David DeLeiden, the head of Center for Medical Progress, because the recordings took place at a conference in California. Now, what was the basis of the charges, and will they hold up? We'll talk about that with FRC's Travis Weber, who will join us in just a moment. And the Air Force, yep, they're at it again, carpet bombing people of faith. Mike Berry with First Liberty is here to explain. And seems to be California-centric today. California lawmakers are at it again. Senate Bill 219 would make it criminal to use the wrong pronoun in nursing homes on the left coast. You can't make this stuff up. Brad Dacus with Pacific Justice is ready with the details. That's all to come here on Washington Watch. Well, we got a lot to cover today. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you have to take a breath or you stop on the way home and miss something, later on today, check out the archives at TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it's at T Perkins. All right. You may recall the Center for Medical Progress. They are the ones that did these undercover videos of Planned Parenthood and their trafficking in baby body parts. Now, this is what's given impetus, even more so, to the defunding of Planned Parenthood, and they have put Planned Parenthood on the ropes. Well, they have their allies. Planned Parenthood has its allies, and they're in many places, like California and the Attorney General out there, who immediately filed charges against David DeLeiden, saying that they violated the law by making these recordings with both parties not being aware of the recording. Joining me now to talk about this, Travis Weber. He is the director of the Center for Religious Freedom here at the Family Research Council. Travis, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
All right, first off, we're going to have Congressman Trent Franks on a little bit, but we're going to focus with him. We're going to talk about Arizona in particular because he was in the legislature there, worked a lot on pro-life legislation. California or Arizona has some very good laws on that sense. But this was David DeLeiden was interviewing an individual who works in a clinic, does work in Arizona, but the recording took place in California. Describe what was contained in that recording.
Yeah, so I mean, a number of conversations are supposedly form the basis for these charges. They're really bogus, politically motivated charges against him in the state of California. But in essence, the state is claiming that, look, you violated the law prohibiting the recording of confidential communications. It's a state criminal law. You violated that law by recording conversations with various individuals at the NAF conference and in restaurants purporting to supposedly want to conduct business. And somehow the recording of these conversations violates the law. There are several problems with this. One is simply the fact that there's no criminal case to be made out here. The statute that they're supposedly claiming he violated doesn't support what happened. Secondly is the wildly disparate treatment between the state's treatment of other secret citizen journalists, those exposing animal abuse, animal cruelty. When those videos have come to light, the state responds by investigating the farms or the facilities where the animals are abused, not persecuting the one who made the recording. Yet, because this contains abortion and the abortion exception trumps all, the state is prosecuting and persecuting David DeLeiden for making the recordings, not going after the facilities which are trafficking baby body parts.
Now, in one of the recordings where he was discussing with Dr. Taylor from Arizona regarding the potential of a baby being born alive, and Arizona has strong laws in that if a baby is born alive, you have to administer medical help to save the life of the baby. Now, several states have that, but Arizona being one of them. There's comments made to suggest, well, you know, you gotta make sure you know who's in the room. Essentially saying is you just don't want anybody who's going to talk about what you're about to do.
Right. You know, and those comments, what they show at a minimum is a basis for authorities charged with enforcing the law, with protecting life, protecting the most vulnerable. At a minimum, they show a basis for those authorities to investigate the facilities and the people behind possibly such behavior. At a minimum, it doesn't conclusively prove any case, but it shows they should be investigated. It doesn't show that you turn around and investigate the one who's exposing those comments.
Right. But now this is not new. This happened the last time that a series of – now these videos are about 18 to 20 months old. They were all done in this series, and so they've been releasing them over time, as I understand it. But this same thing happened in Texas, which those charges were eventually – thrown out.
Yeah, there were charges there, again, politically motivated, and the judicial system saw fit to toss those charges out as politically motivated and without basis. And it's really sad what's going on here, because this you talk about things that undermine the integrity of the judicial system, undermine people's confidence in the system. This is the type of thing that undermines it. When clearly the state of California is applying a double standard to citizen journalists engaged in other work compared to those engaged in protecting babies. The state needs to answer that one question. How does it square its treatment of these? And there's no good answer for that, and we're waiting for them to answer that.
Yeah, I mean, if he were doing undercover recording of a puppy mill, there's no doubt that the authorities there in California would not have charged him. This case, as you pointed out, it's because it is abortion. But again, drawing attention to what was contained in those recordings, as you said, does not conclusively say that illegal criminal activity took place on behalf of some of these clinic operators or doctors. But comments made suggest that it could have been illegal activity taking place, and authorities should investigate that, not the person who pulled back the curtain.
Exactly. At a minimum, they need to investigate, and there's just simply no good reason for their – not only do they not do anything, they turn around and prosecute the guy who's exposing this. That's just shameful. They should be ashamed of themselves, but unfortunately, the abortion lobby has everyone – in a position of power out there in their grip.
So what will be the next step for David DeLayden as he now faces, these are felony criminal charges, 15 counts because of the multiple conversations that took place at this clinic in San Francisco, or this conference in San Francisco. What happens next?
Yeah, I mean, he'll have to engage with the judicial process and defend against the charges. You know, and I hope and expect that they're going to be thrown out at some point, but the fact that he should have to go through this at all is a real shame. And if you look at what happened here, I mean, frankly, I think he has a decent case for potentially a civil rights claim against some of the people who brought these for malicious prosecution, possibly other civil rights claims. There are claims for a reason that protect against innocent citizens being subject to the malicious use of the judicial process against them for some reason other than bringing them to justice. When it's used for another purpose, it's unlawful for a reason. And so, you know, he's going to have to engage with the judicial system, defend himself against these, and I expect at some point they're going to be thrown out and exposed for what they are.
So this really nothing more than using the law to intimidate.
Exactly. That's really what's going on here.
Because it's selective enforcement of the law. I mean, look, I know as a former police officer that I could probably find a reason to stop almost any car on the road for some violation. There's so many provisions of law that you can find something. But it comes down to the equal application of the law, and you're not using the law to target a certain person or a certain activity, but you're uniformly applying it.
Right. And if you look at how this goes back to the point about how California has, when in other cases of citizen journalism, they investigate the practices exposed, not the person investigating.
Right.
And that's the real shame in all this.
Travis, I want you to hold on just a second. Congressman Trent Franks of Arizona is joining us from the House floor. They've got a number of votes going on today. And one of these clinics was reportedly operated in Arizona. And the comments you and I were talking about suggesting they could have violated the law. So I'm going to invite Congressman Franks. Congressman Trent Franks of Arizona, thanks so much for joining us.
Always good to be with you, Tony. How are you guys doing?
We're doing quite well, talking about the latest videos released by the Center for Medical Progress. And I wanted to talk with you about it for two reasons. One, I cannot point to anybody else here on Capitol Hill that has been more of a champion for the unborn. But this is also the state of Arizona, which you have seen fit to influence the laws out there to be pro-life and protecting of the unborn. Comments in these videos suggest that those laws could be being violated.
Well, there's no doubt about it. The callous attitude that the videos clearly illustrate, that the people at Planned Parenthood, you know, are more concerned about who's in the room rather than if there's a baby that has survived the abortion process or is alive. You know, it's just astonishing. Everyone should see the video without me trying to lay it out or talk about all the specifics. It's just very clear that Planned Parenthood has a total cavalier attitude toward children born alive. And secondarily, I believe they have broken the law. And the great irony is, as you know, we have the Born Alive legislation here in the Congress, but that has led to some discussions in Arizona here over the last year or so. And we have now enhanced Born Alive legislation that is in the legislature being considered as you and I speak. So it could be even stronger. And I really believe that there's a great opportunity in America for us to begin to debate this idea of born alive, because there's so many of these children that can be born alive now at 5 or 6 months. And that is so instructive to all of us. And I'm convinced that the debate will lead in the direction of protecting unborn babies throughout the spectrum at some point. But right now, I hope that we can really use this in a good way to help people understand that there are born alive children trying to be born in Planned Parenthood, and Planned Parenthood does everything they can to make sure that they don't survive long.
Well, in addition to that, Congressman Franks, do you think this will give greater impetus to the defunding of Planned Parenthood, which is something that can happen right here on Capitol Hill?
Absolutely, Tony. I'm going into a meeting here just in a few moments. We've had votes here, and it's just total chaos here right now. We're going into a meeting in a few moments to discuss that very issue. I think that it's incumbent upon us to do something to make sure that whatever we send over in reconciliation, that it not only includes a defunding Planned Parenthood, but it includes the kind of some health care reforms that can get out of the House so that we can get it on the Senate floor. That's our biggest challenge, is getting something on the Senate floor. Their vote, their rule construct over there means that they have to have 60 votes in normal circumstances to even get a bill to the floor. Incidentally, that's a rule that has to be changed, or we're going to be in a terrible bind. But for the moment, we have the chance to get the defunding before the Senate floor in reconciliation, and we need to do that and make sure that we don't lose that mechanism, because it runs out in May.
All right, Congressman Trent Franks, thanks for taking a few moments to join us today. As always, appreciate having you on.
Thank you, sir. God bless you guys for all you do. Just keep doing it.
All right, Congressman Trent Franks of Arizona. Travis Weber, thanks so much for joining us. Well, we'll keep an eye on this case as it moves forward in this legal system.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, folks, and by the way, you can see that video. Go to TonyPerkins.com, the video that Congressman Trent Franks made reference to. All right, when we come back, Mike Berry with First Freedom will join us to talk about the issue of the Air Force continuing to attack religious freedom. That's next. Don't go away.
From defunding Planned Parenthood to confirming a pro-life justice to serve on the Supreme Court, we're going to need your help to advocate for life in the digital sphere. Sometimes all it takes for truth to be heard is for everyday Americans to use their social media platforms to advance the pro-life cause. At Family Research Council's Pro-Life Con Digital Action Summit, a diverse group of advocates who are using the latest technologies to advance the pro-life cause helped empower viewers to better reach their community on platforms like Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and blogs. Speakers include Rebecca Buell, who was able to reverse her chemical abortion with the help of the internet, and Brandi Swindell, whose women's healthcare organization was featured in Cosmopolitan as a pro-life alternative to Planned Parenthood. Discover the amazing things digital activists are doing for life in 2017 and empower yourself and your community to do more at frc.org/prolifecon.
From Samaritan's Purse and Franklin Graham comes Facing Darkness. In 2014, as the Ebola virus was devastating West Africa,
the numbers of new cases and deaths are still rising.
International relief organization Samaritan's Purse stepped up.
God has called us to care for the dying, to care for those that are suffering.
We can't say we're Samaritan's Purse and not help.
My phone rang. One of our doctors, Kent Brantley, has Ebola.
And then David looked at me and he said, "You too have Ebola."
We're there to save life. We're there in your name. Why?
Despite the fact that things were out of control, we knew that God was in control.
God puts you in places and supplies the strength to deal with.
Jesus Christ didn't run. We run to the fire. We don't run away from it.
Facing Darkness, a true story of faith. In select cinemas for one night only, Thursday, March 30th. For theaters and tickets, go to FacingDarknessMovie.com. That's FacingDarknessMovie.com.
American Family Radio, impacting lives.
I just had a marriage dissolve 2 years ago after 28 years. But thank God, because of AFR, I've been able to provide stable, consistent, strong Bible teaching to each of my three children. And in spite of a terrible marriage with their father, they've been well-grounded in the truth of God's Word. They've been inspired by Christian music provided by AFR, in our teachings and from the books that we get and materials. It has been a great source of encouragement, a great source of inspiration. I just want to say thank you so much for providing the very basic foundational principles that our country needs to get back to.
Ensure that we impact even more lives by partnering with us during our three-day share-a-thon starting April 4th. Listener-supported American Family Radio, boldly standing for truth.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. Tony Perkins, the website, tonyperkins.com. If you're on Twitter, at T Perkins. Hey, I just want to remind you once again, if you want to take a trip with us this summer, cruise to Alaska. Yes, it's going to have a great time, end of July, 1st of August. To find out more, go to the website, tonyperkins.com. Ken Blackwell will be with us, General Jerry Boykin, Michelle Bachman, many others. Great time of being together and talking about what is unfolding right now here in our nation and the opportunity that's before us. All right, find out more, go to tonyperkins.com. All right, decorated Air Force veteran Colonel Michael Madrid, who is also a devout Christian, has honorably served in the United States Air Force for 26 years, but he's facing punishment for apparently holding the biblical worldview of marriage as being the union of a man and a woman. In 2014, a service member undergoing a court-martial accused Colonel Madrid of making derogatory comments about homosexuality, but the claims were investigated and found to be unsubstantiated. Well, two years later, everything was resolved. It was fine. Colonel Madrid was placed under a new commander, Major General John McCoy, who got a hold of this report that was in his file. Old had been, as I said, unsubstantiated claims, and without any new evidence or new investigation, arbitrarily decided Madrid was guilty and punished him. With us now to discuss the case is Mike Berry, Senior Counsel and Director of Military Affairs for First Liberty Institute. Mike, welcome back to Washington Watch.
Thanks for having me back on.
All right. Does that accurately lay out the case?
That's exactly what happened.
Oh, this is crazy. How can you come back after someone has been exonerated, the claims found to be unsubstantiated, and then you weren't even present, did not get any new information, didn't do a new investigation, and you're charging someone and finding them guilty? How do you do that?
Well, you can't do that, at least not in this country, in our military. And that's one of the focal points of our complaint to the Air Force, is that this is a denial and a deprivation of due process. that Colonel Madrid doesn't even know what the basis for these new, you know, are there any new accusations, first of all? And if so, what is the basis for them? Because otherwise, he was already investigated. He already went through the process. The process cleared him. The investigator said that it was unsubstantiated, as you explained. And his commander said, yep, I consider this matter closed, or at least so he thought. And then more than 2 years later, he's completely blindsided by, you know, this new punishment.
I mean, if you think about that, Mike, I mean, that means that, you know, if you do something, you're proven to be innocent, that you're exonerated, nothing else is done, and then some time later, someone else who becomes your commander or you're under a new command, all of a sudden they dredge this up and make you, you know, stand for charges again. I mean, you just can't do that. What action are you taking on behalf of your client?
Well, today we sent a demand letter to the United States Air Force. It's actually the person who has succeeded Major General McCoy down here at San Antonio at the Air Force Base. And so we've directed that letter to him and basically explaining what happened, explaining why it's wrong, why this is an unlawful action, why it deprives Colonel Madrid of due process, of his constitutional right of religious freedom. And we're giving them, the Air Force, the opportunity to correct this by rescinding the punishment and restoring Colonel Madrid's career and his good name and reputation.
Let's talk about the punishment. What punishment was placed onto Colonel Madrid?
Well, this General McCoy issued what is called a letter of admonishment. So that it's a formal admonishment. And when you happen to be an 06, a colonel, as Colonel Madrid is, that actually triggers what's called an unfavorable information file. So in essence, it's two separate black marks on your service record. And Colonel Madrid, you know, has an otherwise impeccable service record with, you know, military awards and decorations. And so this now, these two blemishes are in essence going to end his career, and could result in, if the Air Force really decided to push things, they could actually attempt to demote him back down to lieutenant colonel.
Wow. So folks understand how this works, because not everybody served in the military, is that it's not like he's put in jail or he's fined a certain amount of money. But when you, as you said, in 06, next stop for him would be a one-star general. And, of course, that has to go before Congress, and it's a lot of work to get that done. But if you once you have one of these letters in your file, you're, as you said, this is the end of your career, because it's a black mark, and you're not going to advance to the next stage. So your career is over. You're going to have to retire at the end of your current period of service.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And there's actually also some kind of unwritten or collateral consequences. Things like when it comes to getting new assignments or duties, somebody with these types of blemishes on their record are obviously not going to be given the good assignments. You know, they're going to be, Colonel Madrid is going to be left scraping the bottom of the barrel, so to speak, when it comes to assignments and duties. And if the Air Force were to try to have him reduced in rank back down to a lieutenant colonel, and he were to retire, if and when he makes that decision, then obviously he stands to lose tens of thousands of dollars, if not more, in retired pay, because right. he would be receiving his retirement pay at the rank of a lieutenant colonel instead of a colonel.
But as
and
a
so
colonel,
there's all types of consequences.
Right, as a colonel, you have so much time that you can spend in that rank. As an officer, and you have to either advance or you get out. And so, obviously, with that on his record, he's not going to advance. So whenever he hits the time frame of his amount of time he can serve in that rank, he's gone. And that's what will be the recourse if you're able to get this letter removed? Is his career still marked, or does he have the possibility of still going on forward?
Well, I think from an official standpoint, then his record and his reputation and whatnot have been cleared, and he will have been vindicated. And yes, I mean, he could conceivably continue to serve And you know, hopefully the Air Force would not be so foolish as to continue to use this against him in the future, you know, assuming that we're able to get this clear from his name. So, and let's also not forget that, you know, he's a flight surgeon, meaning he's a medical doctor, a physician. And so, you know, you don't want this type of you know, thing on your record,
right,
or to blemish your reputation and follow you around.
Hey, Mike, we're gonna have to leave it there, Mike. We'll continue to track this. All right. So thanks for joining us. Hey, folks, don't go away. We're right back with more Washington Watch.
Making the most of your money. Here's Dan Celia.
Well, we saw the markets take a bit of a turnaround, a very good turnaround, actually, just at the mere mention of Paul Ryan indicating that, hey, the healthcare debate is not over. We're going back to the drawing board, and they're going to continue that. Not sure why that would have any impact on the market, to be honest with you. I think the only way that has an impact on the market is it allows the legislative process to move on for tax reform. We're getting tax reform anyway. Apparently, that is in full swing. Got a couple other things like debt ceiling to debate. And of course, my question is, they wouldn't dare do another continued resolution of the budget, would they? Well, we'll find that out as well here in the upcoming weeks. The big news, the good news, the really good news is consumer confidence. Consumer confidence, the best reading we've seen in 16 years. Consumer confidence in March soared to the highest level since December of 2000. It leaped from 116, which, by the way, folks, 116 is nothing to sneeze at. 116 is very good by all accounts. But it went from 116 to 125.6. Amazing. Apparently, there's an awful lot of people very enthused. When you look at the household income component, every single class from $15,000 a year up to $124,000 a year income for March of 2017 went up dramatically compared to October of 2016.
Want to hear more financial advice from Dan Celia? Then look for his podcast when you visit the website afr.net.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. All right. Let me just... Pastors... Coming up in May, we have our annual Watchman on the Wall conference, last weekend of May every year. It is a great gathering of pastors here in the city of Washington, D.C. And to find out more, I encourage you to go to the website, tonyperkins.com. It takes place the 24th through the 26th of May. And this is it's underwritten in large part by the Family Research Council. All that you have to do is pay a registration fee of $299. Everything else, rooms, meals, all covered. It is for pastors, only pastors. And so if you'd like to find out more, go to tonyperkins.com or just email me, tony@tonyperkins.com. Look, we've got over 13,000 pastors in our network across the country, and we're standing with pastors as they stand for biblical truth in our culture. We are championing pastors to transform America. That's what Watchmen on the Wall is all about, and we'd love to have you as a part of it or your pastor. So let your pastor know about that. Again, tonyperkins.com or just email me, tony@tonyperkins.com. All right, if passed, a new bill in California could criminalize employees and even non-employees for using the wrong pronoun in nursing homes. The bill would also allow gender-confused residents to use opposite-sex restrooms and could force grandma to have a transgender roommate. This is California, but it's crazy. Joining us now with more, Brad Dacus, president of the Pacific Justice Institute. Brad, you are on record opposing this bill before the committee last week, right?
Oh, yes, we did. And we really spelled out why we were opposed to it in a very clear way. And, you know, this is people, I tell you, Tony, people hear about this and they think, oh, they must be exaggerating. This can't be true. But we have so many crazy new laws coming out in California that are illogical, irrational, and unconscionable. We try to spell it out very logically for legislators to try to use their minds to come to grips with the foolhardiness of what they're trying to propose.
So this bill has no exceptions for religious institutions. So a lot of these special care facilities for the elderly are operated by religious-based organizations. There's no provisions made in the legislation for them.
Oh, you're right. There's absolutely no exception whatsoever. This is very concerning. Let's say you have a religious nursing home and you have some nuns there and who are the caregivers. You know, this law would force them to refer to someone, a man as a she, even though they have deep convictions that that man is not a she. Biologically, that man was created to be a man, and to force them to have to carry out and reinforce a delusional state of thinking is in violation of their beliefs, their convictions, much less also their free speech right.
But now, as you point out, as you've pointed out, it's not in your testimony. You pointed out that it wasn't just in reference to the patient, if you're having a conversation with the patient, but if you were back at the nurse's station or someone else overheard you making a reference to a particular patient and you used the wrong pronoun, that would put you in violation of this law.
Right, and I think that's very important to understand. It's having everyone at all times to say and speak something that they know is not true. They're basically criminalizing the proper usage of pronouns and the legal names that they actually are given. And that's another part of it is allowing the patient to say, "Oh no, my name is no longer George; it's Isabel, and you have to call me Isabel from now on, whether you like it or not." That is really stepping on the rights of caregivers to have to say something that is not true and violates their own conscience and conviction.
So, Brad Dacus, what is the, number one, what's the enforcement mechanism, and two, what is the penalty?
Yeah, well, that's a very serious issue because here we have a potential, you call it hate speech or hate crime application kicking in. And then we also have the issue of the facility itself possibly losing their license to continue to operate and to serve in the state of California. Serious setback, of course, and it's very intimidating. And the fact that there's no exemption for even private religious institutions, nonprofit care centers, even there's none. And so it's very, very serious. And that's why we at Pacific Justice Institute have spoken up so resolutely about it and are willing to defend these nursing homes if it's not corrected.
Brad Dacus, we're up against a break, but one final question. What are the prospects? You think this law will actually pass and go into effect, this measure?
Well, unfortunately, the liberals have a supermajority in both the state assembly and the state senate. We expect that it has a very good chance of passing, actually. And that's why we at Pacific Justice Institute are already working through our contingencies on how to deal with this once this becomes law and how we could contest it and how we should contest it legally.
Okay. All right. As always, Brad Dacus, great to have you on the program. Thanks for being ready at all times.
Oh, thank you, Tony. And thank you for all you're doing, especially that pastor's watching on the wall. I think that's very commendable, and I'm encouraging our pastors that I know to attend it. So keep up the great work.
All right, great. Thanks, Brad. Hey, folks, check out the website, TonyPerkins.com, and follow the links over to Pacific Justice, especially if you live in California, and you can weigh in on this crazy legislation. Don't go away.
The love of one's country, that's what patriotism is, according to Noah Webster. You know the dictionary guy? Well, we're going to be being patriots when we go to Washington, D.C. and Mount Vernon in September. Hello, everyone. I'm Tim Wildman, president of the American Family Association. and American Family Radio. September 20th through the 24th, we're going to be seeing our nation's capital. We've taken thousands of people over the years to do this, and people sometimes come back for a second and third time. We're going to be seeing our nation's capital from a distinctively Christian perspective with historian Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation. Now, we're also going to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown for those who want to do that trip. That's September 17th through the 20th. So those are two separate trips. You can do one or you can do both. We'd love to have you and your family. For more information, go to spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com. Space is filling up. Hope to see you in September.
Is God calling you to pursue theological graduate education? What's keeping you from taking the first step? Is it time? What if you could choose from flexible class options? Is it money? What if competitively priced seminary offered academic scholarships? Do you think you're alone? What if your classmates were just like you, balancing careers and families with seminary? Hello, I'm Dr. John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary in Jackson, Mississippi. Take the first step. Visit wbs.edu.
American Family Association, a ministry with a mission to inform, equip, and activate people like you to strengthen the moral foundations of American culture and to give aid to the church here and abroad in her task of fulfilling the Great Commission. We couldn't do it without your day-to-day support. Together, we are making a difference. American Family Association. Find us online at afa.net.
I'm a widow. I've worked for a bank for 31 years, and I've been retired now for 10 years.
Myrtle Norris comments on her experience with the AFA Foundation.
I had a lot of financial questions, and Dan Celia was, he answered my questions, and he helped me with a lot of decisions that I made. And then the charitable gift came up, and he explained that to me. I decided to get it, and I'm sure glad I did, because I know now that money is in a place that I know God wants it to be, and also get my monthly income from it. I believe in the AFA and what they're doing, because they're working for us.
Learn how the AFA Foundation can work for you. You can contact the AFA Foundation through Facebook, on our website, afafoundation.net, or call us at 800-326-4543, extension 345. Thank you for supporting the American Family Association.
The number to call. We're going to open up the phone lines here in just a moment. Here's the question. You know, if you were placed in the position of being forced to use new gender pronouns or face criminal charges, what would you do? I mean, this is real. I mean, you've got more and more of these whacked out jurisdictions. I mean, think about it. The lawmakers have nothing better to do than to establish laws regarding the use of pronouns. I mean, come on. I know I used to get some red marks on my paper from my English teacher from using maybe the wrong conjunctions or who knows what. But to have the weight of the law coming down on people, this is what's behind this, folks, okay? This is so unnatural, okay? It is so contrary to nature and the way we're created that they have to use the force of law to make it work. So that you have, it's kind of like the novel 1984, where, you know, they were simply changing the language, watching the people, and enforcing the through the penalty of the law, through the force of the government, these changes that do not come naturally. In many ways, it's like abortion. You know, abortion is counter to nature. Same-sex marriage, counter to nature. That's why the government is enforcing under the Obama administration. That's why they were penalizing anyone. You know, you could do anything else, but when it came to not wanting to, you could refuse to participate in anything accept same-sex marriage, and then that was a violation, and they would come down with you in the full way of the law. It's all about the only way that you can get conformity on this is the weight of the law. So, what do you think? If you were placed in the position of being forced to use the new gender pronouns or face criminal charges, what would you do? 866-372-7234. Let's go to Texas, where Kathy is on the line. Kathy, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hi, Tony.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you today?
I'm good. Thank you.
You know, when I was younger, it wouldn't have bothered me nearly as much, but the older I get, the less likely I am to put myself into that position. I will not live in a liberal area because I think that their continued attack on the family and the fabric of our society is just not gonna stop anytime soon. And this is just another step in pushing their agenda to destroying the family, which destroys the fabric of society, which opens us up for socialistic and communistic societies.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It is the deconstruction of society. And as you deconstruct the very foundation of society, you set in place and set in motion the need for more government. And that's why liberals like this. Now, I don't know if they're all doing it intentionally, probably not all, but certainly some are. And they liberals see strong families, strong churches as a rival and a challenge to them and the need for them. But this is, Kathy, I want to kind of springboard off something you said, that you refuse to live in liberal areas. I refuse to conform to deception. I'm not going to play make-believe games with liberals, even if they have the power. Not going to do it. I mean, you essentially are living a lie. You're living as a captive. And we should not do that. This is America. We have freedoms. You say, well, we're free. You're not free if you're being forced to act as if a lie were truth. You are not free. I will resist. They will never make me conform to a lie. And I don't believe any Christian. Okay, I know I avoid all kinds of controversy here, but I'm going to say this. I do not think any Christian should conform to a lie. I think it is wrong. And I don't care if it's the law. I don't care if the Supreme Court decided it. If it runs counter to the truth, it is a lie. And we should refuse to conform to it. It's my view. Kathy, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to Missouri, where Carrie is on the line. Carrie, welcome to Washington Watch.
Yes, sir. Thanks for taking my call. I would definitely resist it. I'm thinking I'd probably use some type of a gender neutral type response. If I was working in a nursing home, I'd just call them patient Jenner instead of Bruce or whatever else they wanted me to call them.
Yeah. True. I mean, you could just say, I think it's less personal, that individual, in room 67 or whatever. But yeah, I mean, there are ways to sidestep it, but I would definitely refuse to play along with these make-believe games. I mean, in fact, it's not just a matter of she and him and shim and all that. I cannot keep track of the number of genders that are out there and these words that they're making up for these various genders. It's insanity. Insanity. It is. Absolutely. Carrie, thanks so much for the call. Appreciate it. It's hard to believe. I mean, if you step back for a moment dispassionately, 10 years ago, did you ever think we'd be having conversations like this? Although we warned that once we went down this path of redefining marriage and human sexuality, that there was no telling what would follow. and we're seeing it. And this whole thing about, well, you know, allowing two people who love each other to get married is not going to affect you and your family. Really? Well, that's another lie. We're seeing it each and every day in increasing ways. I mean, it is a dangerous place to be. All right? And the way you fight back against deception is with the truth. The way you push back on the darkness is you chase it away with the light. And how does that happen? Well, it happens when people of the light, people who know the truth, speak the truth and don't shrink back in fear or intimidation. All right, let's go to Arkansas where Dana is on the line. Dana, welcome to Washington Watch. Dana, you there? Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, and I'm sorry if this sounds so crude on Christian radio, but this is real life, and these same liberals that threw a fit when I didn't like her wording either, but when Kellyanne Conway said alternative facts, well, this is alternative reality, which is, in other words, not reality. But can you imagine a nursing home, somebody saying something like, Doris has a bed sore on her, I mean, you know, that's how ridiculous this is. I'll let you do what you want to with that.
Well, I won't comment on it, but there's something to ponder. 866-372-7234. I mean, it is just totally bizarre. But this is the world we have allowed the liberals to create, and in part the way they've created it is by our compliance, not necessarily our agreement, not with our help of passing it, but by our silence and by our compliance. I refuse to comply. I don't care if they say it's illegal, if it is, I'm just not going to be a part of their charade. And I do not think any Christian should conform to deception. Because one of the things that happens is when we do this, our children will do it. And of course, they're going after our children in the schools with the curriculum and even punishing kids for using the wrong pronouns. I tell you what, I'm proud of it. I'm raising rebels when it comes to this nonsense. And if my kids ever got in trouble for speaking truth, respectfully, but speaking truth when they were told to buy into a lie, they're certainly not going to be punished by me. They're going to have their dad standing next to them. All right, Matthew, let's go to Oklahoma where Matthew's on the line. Matthew, welcome to Washington Watch.
Hey, Tony. Thank you for taking my call. And how's it going today?
It's going quite well. You?
I'm doing all right, sir. Thank you. I just wanted to agree with your point. I think we should resist, and I hope that I would have the courage. I believe I would. To say, hey, this is a dude, not a chick. And the other thing is, sir, I really think what it comes down to is the states are eventually going to have to. I see a showdown coming between the states and the federal government. And either that or the federal government will go ahead and comply with what the states wish. But ultimately, when it comes down to it, I think the 10th Amendment is pretty clear that the states have the right to make decisions. But you've got to look back at the way our founders set it up. You know, they were pretty straightforward, and they weren't lying, and they weren't making things up. So I think until people decide that they've had enough, and I think that there's a lot of Christians, I think, who believe and agree with, you know, the things that you're talking about on your show, but they're really not really sure what to do. And I think if we would just get together and put some pressure on our local government to make things local and state government to really stand up for biblical truth, and then join together and push back on the federal side when they try to push their agenda, I think we would see some things happen. Maybe possibly California needs to be kicked out of the union.
Well, you got a point there. But that's so true, Matthew, about people feel powerless, helpless to make a difference, that somehow, you know, we're just we're just cogs in this wheel, and there's nothing we can do about it. That's just simply not true. in fact, you know, we have the ability to change things. And the first step is to refuse to comply and to acquiesce to deception. Okay, just simply refuse. No, I don't care what the penalty is. I don't care what they say. Just refuse to do it. And guess what? If enough people stand up, and there's enough sane people left in America that, and we saw this in the last election, they refused to elect Hillary Clinton. So I do think we have some sane people left in America that you just refuse to go along with it. There's too many people that still have their marbles that they cannot punish everybody. The problem is we have too many people that are they're sheeples. They're sheep. They're just being led to the slaughter. I mean, it's time we're not sheep, but we're lions, and we act like it. And to your point about influencing local, you are absolutely correct, Matthew. And I'll tell you, the first place to start is with school boards. All right, I'm going to get on my soapbox here, folks, so just stand by. There are some of you out there that need to run for local school boards. There's some school boards that have adopted these crazy policies. They've got it. It's in the curriculum. It's in the schools, first, second grade. You need to be on the school board and put an end to this nonsense. Some of you need to run for state legislatures, you know, in, you know, California, whatever. You know, you can vote with your feet. You can leave these crazy states and go to states that have, you know, values that are more in alignment with biblical truth. But run for state legislatures. Run for city councils. Don't just complain about it. Make a difference. Get involved. And the way that we defeat deception is that we stand up for truth. Now, again, I'm not talking about, you know, being vicious, hateful. You know, we leave that to the other side. They're pretty good at it. We're just talking about speaking the truth. Speaking the truth, folks, newsflash, right? It's coming across the bottom of your radio. Newsflash. Speaking truth is not hateful, okay? I don't care what the left has said. Speaking truth is actually, when we speak it in Ephesians 4, says speaking the truth in love. When we speak the truth out of a redemptive heart, wanting people to come to know the truth so that they might be free, that's not hateful. That's the antithesis of hate. That is love. And we need to speak that truth. So when we acquiesce to a lie and deception, what we're doing is that's when we're expressing hate and indifference to other human beings. And that, my friend, is wrong. So you and I need to take heart. We need to take courage, and we need to be bold, and we need to stand up and speak out against this nonsense. Our children need to see us doing this. Our children will be the beneficiaries of our speaking the truth. So anyway, this kind of asinine activity is going on all across the country. And it's up to us to stop it. And we have a window here to do it. And I suggest we do it now, because we may not have another opportunity. All right, I'm off my soapbox. But I will leave you with this. Found in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul. He says, when you've done everything you can do, when you've prepared, when you have prayed, and when you've taken your stand, well, you got it. Just keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is a production of the Family Research Council in Washington, D.C. For more information on anything you heard today, or if you'd like to find out how you can support the ongoing efforts of the Family Research Council, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our new watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.